Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone. Let's see, before we dive into today's topic, a couple of things. The Peptique is growing super fast and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you, for real. Beyond my wildest dreams, that I know I always say this, that I get to do what I do every single day. It makes me so happy. That being said, we are still trying to figure out all the nuances on inventory and when to order and when things start getting low in stock. And this week, y'all, this week we are running really low in a lot of product. And I have a lot of product right now that is out for testing. So it's just waiting to be released. It is very unusual with the labs that we use that we have anything come back bad. But of course, until I get the COAs and the endotoxin test back, I'm not going to release them. That being said, you can go to the Peptique website. You can put your name in the bottom, or I'm sorry, you can put your name when you pop up a product that says it's out of stock. You just sign up to get an email as soon as it comes back in inventory. And you will automatically get notified. The other thing I want to say about that is that it'll happen soon. This episode is set to be released on October the 21st. So if you are listening to this and you get on the website, by the end of that week, I'm guessing, fingers crossed, that whatever is out of stock will be back in stock at that point in time. So just bear with us. We are, again, we're figuring all this stuff out and we're so grateful. I think I have the best audience in the entire world. I get emails from you guys and you're just so encouraging and just kind and grateful and truly just blow me away all the time. When I was thinking about today's topic, I'm a little short on time because there's just a lot of crazy things going on and trying to get new products and new things out to you guys. And so I was thinking, what's something I could talk about that wouldn't be like a super long episode? And the first thing that kind of popped in my mind was peptide dosing. And this has been coming up a lot lately as I'm having peptide consultations with people. And the truth is, it's all over the map, right? You see all these different dosings for different things and you don't know where to start. I didn't know where to start. I'm still a work in progress when it comes to these things. I'm still learning about all these things myself. So you're not alone. And I started going through the list of peptides that I get the most questions about regarding dosing protocols. And this really was brought to light this week when I was doing a consultation with a lady that is actually a nurse. And she said, this is just what gets me because in her world, everything is precisely dosed, right? And that's because all of those things have gone through pharmaceutical trials. They know what dosing protocol has the largest amount of efficacy for the largest amount of population of people, okay? And so most of these peptides, not all of them, but most of them were going off experimental studies, were going off animal models, were going off anecdotal experiences from all the different forums, the school forums, like I've talked about on here, and I'll talk about that again on the end, at the end of this, if you want to join. And so you're going to hear just a billion different things, and that's key to this conversation. So keep that in mind as we're talking through these things. And I also want to say, I have to say this, as annoying as it is, I am simply going over my personal experiences and the experiences that I'm familiar with all the people that I talk to and that I work with. Do not use this as your peptide Bible to go out there and start dosing at certain levels. This is for information and educational purposes only. It is really important to partner with a like-minded person that knows your health and wellness history that can really tell you what to stay away from and what not to stay away from. And let me be really transparent. Even in my peptide consultations, I'm not getting deep into that individual's background. I'm simply giving them educational information on peptides, and then it's up to the individual to go talk to their practitioner and make that decision on their own. So that's my big disclaimer. Please remember that. And even when you get my peptide guide, because I have a free peptide guide, I always put the link in the show notes for that. You need to do your own research. You need to always start low and slow on these things. The peptide guide is very much more on the lower end of the spectrum. And that's on purpose. A lot of those doses work beautifully for a lot of people. So it's not like I'm putting out this guide and saying, I'm going to give you the guidelines for the smallest amount of dosing. You're not going to get anything from it. No, those protocols in there are ones that I have experience with, or a lot of other people do, that show that they work. But this is nuanced. And so it's going to vary. And I know when I was starting out, I was very confused, as I'm sure a lot of you are, about how to start with these things. So today I'm going to break down 6 of the key peptides that I get the most questions about when it comes to dosing protocols, and we're going to break this down, okay? We're going to start with ipamorelin. This is a growth hormone secretagogue. You've probably heard me talk about it before, and it stimulates natural growth hormone release without spikes in cortisol or prolactin, which is one of the reasons why I love it. And it's known for recovery, sleep, fat metabolism, and helping put on that lean muscle mass that we're all trying as we get older, especially, to put on, because that gets harder and harder. I'm not going to go in depth on any of these peptides and what they do. We're simply going to focus on dosing. So one of the reasons why ipamorelin is challenging is it's sensitive to timing. The protocols that you normally will see will be once a day in the evening, or twice a day in the evening and the morning. And I've even seen protocols where you can pulse it 3 to 4 times a day throughout the day, more like our natural growth hormone does. So you're going to see a lot of different protocols. I would say, honestly, this is one of the things that when I'm doing episodes like this, I know that if someone's out there and they're very experienced in the peptide world, I'm going to get a lot of people that probably disagree with me. That's okay, because this is not a one-size-fits-all. That's the whole point in having this episode. So I'm going to tell you what my experience is. But no, if you're one of those people out there and you're like, that didn't work for me, I totally get that. And this is why you have to experiment on your own with some of these things to figure out what will work for you. So 2 people can take the exact same peptide and get totally different results. And I think ipamorelin definitely falls in that category. So I usually tell people to start with a once-a-day injection around 300 mcgs before bed. Here's the deal with that. I like all the growth hormones, minus testosterone, which I think is better in the morning. But most of the growth hormones or secretagogues are better at night, because that's when we have the biggest pulse of our natural growth hormone, and it's going to thrive on that. However, the last time I did a cycle of ipamorelin over the summer, it actually kept me up at night. So I was not able to tolerate that evening dose. A lot of people report that it helps them sleep. I would say more often than not, people report back to me like, oh my gosh, it helped me sleep so much better. So again, these are nuanced and very unique to the individual. I actually had my cousin try this one, and she had the same experience that I had. Maybe it's something in our genetics. And switched her to the morning as well. A lot of people want to break the dose up. They want to do a morning and an evening. If you're going to do that, I would say start with the 1 daily dose. See how you respond to it first. Then you can layer in a 2nd dose if you want to. Unless you're in the bodybuilding world, I don't know about layering in a 3rd dose. And you probably want to titrate down a little bit, although you'll see protocols that tell you to titrate up. Again, nuanced. But I personally found for me, and I've done this both ways, that I got an amazing benefit from taking 1 300 mcg dose in the morning, because I couldn't take it in the evening. I didn't feel the need to go up. If you are experiencing things with ipamorelin or any growth hormone secretagogue peptide, like water retention, things like that, irritability, things like that, then go down. That's when you know, okay, my body can't handle this, go down. And so this is one of those things that it's why you're going to see this wide variety. It's not that one's right or one's better or one's wrong. It's that it's very unique to the individual. The other thing I will say is give yourself time to adjust with something like ipamorelin. You may get some initial edema in the beginning. Titrate down a little bit. Let your body get used to it. Don't just give up on it. I've also found that I get better results at different times. It depends on what's going on with my body. Maybe my hormones aren't as balanced as they need to be. Maybe I'm run down. Maybe my workouts aren't as strong as they need to be. Maybe my sleep isn't as strong as it needs to be. And so any of those things can throw that off. The other thing I will say about ipamorelin that I get a lot of questions about is you want to be fasted when you take it. And think about this. If your body is busy digesting food, it's focused on insulin and storage mode. So when you're fasted, it shifts into repair mode, which is the whole point of taking a growth hormone peptide. And that's when peptides like ipamorelin really shine for recovery, metabolism, and cellular repair. So this is one that you want to be fasted on. In theory, in an ideal world, we would all quit eating about 3 hours before we go to bed. I know for some of us, that's harder. A minimum 2 hours. And then you can take this before you go to bed. Or if you first wake up in the morning, you're probably fasted. Hopefully at least 8 hours and you can take it then. Okay, let's move on. The other one, this actually came up this week in the Women's Peptide Collective Forum. MODC is one that you're going to see all over the place. So let's dive into this. The doses and studies vary wildly from 1 to 10 milligrams. That's a huge difference, right? And some people get an energy surge and others feel nothing until maybe 3 weeks in. I personally, what I like is a 1 milligram daily, 5 to 7 days a week. You can do 5 days on, 2 days off. If you want to not spend as much, that can help it spread it out more. I actually do it 7 days in a row when I'm on it because I just like the way it makes me feel. But your mitochondria might need more of a push. But I would say start there and see how you feel. Start with the 1 milligram dose. And also know that MOTC is often stacked with other mitochondrial stuff like NAD. I would lower the dose maybe only do 500 mcg. Certainly don't go over 1 milligram if you're pairing it with NAD. That can send your mitochondria into overdrive, and that can make you feel sluggish and tired and all the things that you don't want. And some people, when they first start MOTC, experience that anyway, even when they're not pairing it with something like mild fatigue, nausea, lightheadedness, that wired but tired feeling. It pushes your cells to start burning fat for energy instead of relying on glucose. So it's like the first few days of fasting are going low carb. Your body just doesn't know what to do and you don't feel as great. If your mitochondria aren't used to that, there can be a short adjustment period where your energy dips before it evens out. So hydration, electrolytes, and not stacking too many metabolic peptides at once, NAD, 5-amino-1, that sort of thing, can help smooth that transition. But most people find that within a week or two, they feel noticeably better, clearer minded, more focus and energy. And this is another one that you want to play around with. 5 to 10 milligram doses at one time. Like lots of times you'll see a 5 milligram dose 3 times a week. I tend to like to do these things the way our body naturally pulses them. And we normally don't get these big surges of mitochondrial boost. We'll talk about NAD and fusions in a minute, which I'm not a big fan of. But I find the smaller pulses, again, this is what works for me. I like to do this in the morning. You for sure want to do it in the morning. I like to do a pre-workout in the morning. Really, really helps me. And this is one that I will tell you that I tried several years ago and I didn't feel a whole lot from it. I don't know why. And so this time, I haven't cycled it in a long time. And so I decided, you know what, let's try it again. And I am on it right now and I absolutely love it. It's actually become one of my favorite peptides. And so know that you may not get something out of it the first time. You may have to cycle it again before you really feel the benefit. I also think I'm more optimized than I was then, so my body's able to use it more efficiently. So that also keep that in mind. But if you're not feeling it at 1 milligram a day, maybe go up a little, but I would go very low and slow on this. You don't want to get too high of doses. This is one of those peptides that we have some animal studies on, but not a lot of human studies, which is why the dosing is so variable, because That's not an apples to apples conversion. And so you're going to see it all over the place. Okay, let's move on to SS31. This is a peptide that recently has got a lot of press because the FDA's interest in it. And I believe they just approved it for one particular disease. I can't remember. SS31 targets and repairs damaged mitochondria, supporting cellular energy and reducing oxidative stress. That's what makes this one so special. This is a mitochondrial healer. So if you have damaged mitochondria from oxidative stress, if you have been a heavy drinker, if you have been sick, but in a disease state, things like that. If you're metabolically unhealthy, obviously you want to make all the lifestyle changes to change those things, but it can come in there and actually help heal the mitochondria. So then you can use a MOTC and it will actually work and be beneficial. That's why I tell people personally, if they want to do SS31, do that first and then try a MOTC. So do a cycle of the SS31 and then try the MOTC. But some of the clinical studies out there have dosing protocols for some of these more extreme disease states up to 40 milligrams a day. And that, it's not going to be affordable for almost anybody. And that is super, super high. What I will say the research also shows is that there were little to no side effects even at those high doses. So based on what we do know, my personal opinion here, this is just my opinion, you could really play around with this one as far as dosing is concerned and see what works best for you. Also know that this one is what I call a slow burn. It's not a quick energy hit. It's the deep repair you notice weeks later and when you notice things like brain fog start to disappear. My personal opinion is 1 to 2 milligrams. I personally think 2 because that's on the very low end of an 8-week cycle. Some people say start at 500. If you look at my peptide guide, it's going to say start at 500 mcgs. Again, that's going to be very low, very slow. See how you feel. Make sure you're not overstimulating your mitochondria and so you're not feeling bad. And then you can titrate up throughout that 8-week cycle up to the 2 milligrams. Or 1 milligrams is a happy medium there. See what works best for you. And for people that are super optimized and feeling really good and just doing using this as a longevity tool for things like senescent cells and oxidative stress, that 500 mcgs to 1 milligram dose as a longevity protocol can work really well. If you're dealing with some minor fatigue or, again, some sort of major energy crisis that you're dealing with, you may want to try the 2 milligrams. And if it's super severe, like chronic fatigue syndrome or something like that, I've talked to people that have used it for that. And that tends to be more in that 2 to 5 milligram range, which is like intense moderate. And so just know that. But this is one of those ones that really shows how different people need different dosing depending on what's going on with them. So just a recap of that, because I feel like I was a little all over the map. 500 mcgs to 2 milligrams just for maintenance, maybe 2 milligrams if you're wanting some extra repair and recovery. With say 2 to 5 milligrams if you need more intense type of energy recovery, mitochondrial recovery. And you can go up from there depending on what your goals are and what you're dealing with. The safety profile for this, from what I know, seems to be very safe without really any side effects. So that's good. Okay. The DSIP, the deep sleep inducing peptide, one of my favorite peptides. But I will tell you, the first time that I cycled it, I was like, this does not work. And I didn't finish the vial that I had purchased because I didn't get anything out of it. And I was starting at a 100 mcg dose, which is what I had read about at the time that worked. As the years have gone on and I've learned more and more about peptides and started reading into different protocols about DSIP, I learned a lot more about how it's very unique to the individual. So here's another one. We don't have a ton of research on it. It's very anecdotal. But what you will read out there is that oftentimes the 100 mcgs isn't effective. I had to personally titrate up all the way to 500 mcgs. This is the Goldilocks peptide, if you will, in the sense of you'll know when it's just right, you will wake up and you will feel refreshed. Even if you didn't get 8 hours of sleep, you're going to wake up and feel like, oh, wow, I'm not tired because you got that really deep restorative sleep. You will notice it. It's hard for me to explain until you experience it, but you will notice it. And this is when you want to stay on the lowest effective dose, 100 mcgs is a starter dose because it actually does work for some people. I also think you should take this at night before you go to bed, which makes logical sense. I have read some studies that people take it in the morning and that helps them sleep at night. To be completely honest, I'm not 100% up to date on that particular type of research, even though I've heard that. So that's something I probably need to dive into. But for me, I always take it about 30 minutes before I go to bed. And this is one that you can build a tolerance for really fast. If you find that you've titrated up and all of a sudden it's not working, you probably need to take a break from it for a little while and then get back on it. I cycled this one quite a bit. I was on it about 2 months ago. I just started another cycle of it because my sleep started getting off again. And it definitely has help me again, but you just don't want to take it for more than 30 days. I would say some protocols you'll see, but it says even 2 weeks. Take it for 2 weeks and then get off of it. So I would say when it's time to get off of it, when you keep going up and up and the higher doses start not to work, you just built a tolerance to it. You need to let your body readjust. Okay. Epitalin. I just released an episode about Epitalin last week. It's one of my favorite peptides. If you want to hear more about it, go listen to it. And the thing about Epitalin minus circadian rhythm and getting better sleep on it, this is one that you put in your longevity stack for all the amazing things that it does that we can't feel or see. There's two things that I will say that people report back is that they have more cognitive clarity. So the brain fog kind of lifts and they are sleeping better. We all want that, but it's more on the subtle side of things. And there's been some dispute over dosing because of how the cabins and studies have been interpreted, and people have different opinions, you know, what that's supposed to be, interpreting it from Russian to English. So I'm not going to go into great detail on that, but some of the more recent modern studies that have been done suggest up to 10 milligrams a day for 10 to 20 days straight for the maximum longevity benefit. And then you see the ones that kind of help reset the circadian rhythm cycles, anywhere from 1 to 5 milligrams for 10 to 20 days. And then you'll see protocols that's in between where you do 1 to 5 milligrams for 30 days. I personally like to start people off on 2 milligrams a day for 30 days to do the circadian reset. And then maybe 6 months, one other time on the years of the year, cycle it again at maybe a 5 to 10 milligram dose for 10 to 20 days. So you're cycling it a little bit differently. So you're going to get different benefits from it, but you're really getting the same amount of Epitalin just over more of an extended period of time. So it just really depends on, do you want to do a higher dose for a shorter period of time or spread it out? I like to spread it out, especially when I'm using the D-SIP, the one I just talked about, because that's usually a 30-day cycle and those two pair really well together. I did a whole episode on that as well, so go back and find that. I'm not going to go into detail. But this is another beautiful example of how these things can vary. Other thing I get a lot with Epitalin is I didn't notice anything. I talked about that as I was introducing Epitalin. This isn't one that you're going to notice this huge benefit from, but the science is there that it actually works. So I would encourage you to do your own research on it. But if you're taking it specifically for sleep and you were only taking maybe 1 to 2 milligrams of it, I would say cycle off of it. And then in a month or two, try the higher dose, maybe bump it up to 10 milligrams for 10 to 20 days and see if that gives you more of that reset. I have not done that myself, let me be perfectly honest, but I've read a lot and I've heard a lot of people say that, especially people that have severe insomnia, that can really help reset that circadian rhythm. All right. The last one, NAD plus. You guys have heard me talk about this. I've had a lot of different experiences personally with NAD plus. And NAD plus fuels our mitochondrial energy and supports DNA repair and enhances our metabolism. There's so many great things it does. And all these other things we've discussed, it declines as we age, all right? So you're going to see huge ranges in this, and I'm talking about injectable form of NAD, not the oral form, which we won't go into. I don't waste your money on it unless you're taking the precursors, and not the infusions. What I will say about the infusions, when you're getting these super high doses of NAD, they often make you feel really sick. You usually feel, some people feel better and they get the energy from it after the fact, but it's pretty short-lived. And I just think overwhelming your system with such a large amount of it for the average person may not be the best thing. Now, there are some studies with the infusions at very high doses that's helped with withdrawals and stuff like that for drug addicts and alcoholics. So there is some emerging research about that. That's a different type of use. I'm really talking about people that day in, day out want longevity protocols, want to have more energy because that declines in the age and what I see work for most people. So NAD is one of those ones that you've got to find that sweet spot that works best for you. When I first tried it, I was taking some other mitochondrial peptides and it made me feel really bad. And I had to do some research on why. And I realized, I was just like I talked about with the MONTC and was overdoing it. And so when I tried it again with NAD just on its own, and I would highly encourage you to try NAD, not stacked with anything the first time you use it. I started at 25 milligrams and felt great. 25 milligrams worked really well for me. And I slowly started titrating up as I felt like that milligram amount was not working as much anymore. And I got all the way up to 50 milligrams and I started getting some headaches. I felt the great energy, but by the end of the day, I just got a headache. So I titrated back down. The sweet spot for me is about 35 to 40 milligrams. Now, let's talk about my husband. Gave my husband the exact amount and he was like, I don't feel anything. And I was like, okay, I don't know. Maybe you just are not in tune with the mind-body connection. I tease him about that all the time. So a couple of times I did his dose up to 75 milligrams and that seemed to be what worked really well for him. That's when he started feeling it. I've had particularly women that I work with that report back to me that really cannot get past the 25 milligrams. That works beautifully for them and they stay on that. I've also found that this isn't always true, just in some of the conversations I've had, that the smaller you are, like the more, if you're a more petite person, sometimes the lower doses work a little better. I have zero scientific evidence to back that up. It's just what I've noticed anecdotally through the Women's Peptide Collective and my consultations, what people report back to me. You just need to find the right spot for you. And with NAD, I found at least I did experience a little bit of a tolerance with it. And my understanding is that it does build up in your system. So do it for 8 weeks. Your first go around, get off of it. I have not felt the need to get back on it. There are some days if I'm feeling really tired or run down, I'll give myself an injection and it'll help pep me up for the day. But that's very rare that I feel like I need it. If I start feeling like my energy is declining, then I will incorporate it back in again. But you just have to play with it and again and see what works for you. And I lied. There's one more. I said six. There's actually seven. Six peptides. Because NAD is a coenzyme, not a peptide, but seven total. The last one is, before I go on to that, back to NAD, I also find that people either love the way that makes them feel or they just don't like it. It doesn't jive with them. And that's fine too. Again, these things are nuanced. And so if you are one of those people, like I had one of my girlfriends that was on it, she said, this makes me feel too wired, too jittery, even at the really low dose, just wasn't for her. So you hear these great things, NAD, it's in fashion right now, if you will. You don't have to take it. You don't need to figure out a way to take it. That might be actually a really good example for someone to get on the precursors of NR and NMN that help your body produce more of its own natural NAD as opposed to giving it exogenously. Okay, I'm just going to little side note there. All right, 5-Amino-1-MQ. This peptide's been around for a while, but mainly in the oral form. And I will say this, it is highly bioavailable in the oral form. That's the great thing about it. And a lot of these peptides are not. I recently, just this year, started taking the injectable form of 5-Amino-1. And man, I love it. I felt, even though the science shows that it's highly bioavailable, I did not get near as much out of it orally as I do with an injectable form of this. And it's relatively new to the peptide world, the injectable form, or at least people are catching on to it. And so What I noticed with it is that I had better energy. It wasn't quite the jolt like the NAD gives you, but you definitely feel better energy because it's going to help you use your NAD more efficiently. And it does help you lean out. It is a fat metabolizer. It helps you lean out, particularly in your midsection. Let me premise this by saying that you're going to notice it more if you're already lean. You're just going to see a little bit of a slight change of, wow, I feel like I'm not changed much except this peptide. And I feel like I am leaning out a little bit more. Too high doses of this, like the other mitochondrial ones, can lead to fatigue and that tired but wired feeling. So know that. I start people out on 500 mcgs on this one, always. 500 mcgs usually works really well for me for the first 4 weeks. And then I tend to titrate up to about 1 milligram. And that gets me through the next 4 weeks. And because I feel like I lose some of that energy, and so up it to 1,000 mcgs or 1 milligram. I've seen dosing protocols as high as 2 milligrams. I personally don't have any experience with that and have not seen or heard anyone that says that 2 milligrams worked better than the 1 milligram dose. So again, we want to be on the lowest effective dose. Play around with it. I personally wouldn't go above the 2 milligram dose. I'm saying that because I don't know enough about it. I don't think there is enough research out there about it to say that going above that, A, is safe and B, beneficial. So that's going to wrap up kind of the dosing questions that I get. And you might be sitting here going, well, that was clear as mud, Tara. And it is confusing. My whole point in this is to go over some standard protocols that you're going to hear out there. Tell you what I see work every day in the West Wellness practice when I'm doing peptide consultations, what I've personally experienced, and hopefully to give you a baseline and a comfort level of where to start from and eliminate some of these extreme discrepancies between dosing protocols. So I hope that was your takeaway from today's episode. And before I shut this down, let's see. The school platform, SKOOL, the Women's Peptide Collective. If you're a woman, go to the show notes. There's a link there. Go join. I'm loving this group of ladies. Y'all are my tribe. I learn from you. I hear amazing stories the other day. One of the members was talking about her ferritin and her iron saturation and how peptides, I won't go into detail, but how peptides had transformed that for her in a very nuanced way that I had never heard of. When I started doing research on it, I was like, hey, this actually makes some sense. So I'm learning just so much from all of you, my school ladies, my Women's Peptide Collective ladies who are listening. Shout out to all of you. I love you guys. And let's see, what else? Oh, go put your email in the bottom of the Peptique homepage. This space is very volatile, and I'm run the risk of it being yanked from me at any time. That's how I can get in touch with you and keep you in the know. I do not send spam emails. I only send emails about promotions or new products that we're adding. And if you're listening to this, you probably want to know about that. What else? Oh, please go share this podcast. I love sharing this information with you. The more followers I can get on the podcast, the longer I can continue doing this. And email me your questions. I get questions from all of you every time I release an episode, and I love getting your questions. And we'll see. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, go follow me on Instagram and TikTok, both at West Wellness ATX. Those are at risk of being shut down any second. I've been shadow banned on Instagram talking about peptides, which is so insane. And I have an account ban warning right now on TikTok. I really feel like I keep talking about this every week because I feel like I'm truly on borrowed time with this. But go follow me in the meantime. I'm not putting as much content out there right now, and you've probably noticed that. A, I'm really busy. But B, because I feel like less is more when I'm in this shadow ban warning space, trying to just give it a little bit of a rest. So you might see some of my posts a little more watered down, not so peptide forward. There's a reason for that. But I'm still trying to get stuff out there to you guys as much as possible. So I think that's it. And until next time, everyone, have a blessed day.